rise for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is the February 3rd, 2020 public meeting. The Planning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, and State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, and that an annual notice was published in the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting.
Mr. Chairman, Butcher and Kilduff are absent. Everyone else is here.
I was going to ask for a roll call, but you...
It's a preemptive.
Yeah. Preemptive strike is right.
Oh, that's a low one.
Yep.
He's a liar.
All right, so we we're good to go with that. We have a quorum. Meeting minutes. There were meeting minutes distributed. The first one are the regular minutes of January 6, 2020. You see the eligible members on there. Does anybody have any questions or concerns with those minutes? If not, is there a motion? Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Mr. Kokanowski.
A roll call?
Roll call.
Mr. Glazer.
Yes.
Mr. Higgins.
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans.
Yes.
Mr. Kokanowski.
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus.
Yes.
Mr. Sheck.
So you're going to abstain.
Right. And Chairman Semet.
Yes.
Okay.
Good. Got those? All right. And the next one, we have executive session minutes for the January 6, 2020 meeting.
Yes, ma'am. Have they been handed out?
They were.
Part of the agenda, yeah.
Yeah, they usually, we like to hand them out, but we, yeah.
Okay.
So is that, now, if anybody has any substantive discussion on those, we'll have to hold it. But if you're okay with them as written, or if there's any minor grammatical errors.
Mr. Kochanowski will make a motion.
Okay.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Lazarus.
So.
Roll call.
Glazer.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
Kleinhans.
Yes.
Kojanowski.
Yes.
Lazarus.
Yes.
Sheik, I assume you're abstaining again?
Thank you.
And Semet.
Yes. Okay. We have no resolutions, but we do have a request for extension of time. CRC Communities at Headley Farm Estates, Inc., Old Mountain Farm, Block 46, Lots 33 and 33.0.
Good evening, Chairman and Planning Board members. Nice to see you all again, although I think I haven't been here in a long time.
Yeah.
And I only recognize a handful of faces, so I might have to give you a little more background on this one. This is a request for an extension of time. This is an application originally approved in 2010. It was approved for 23 lots, of which 21 are single-family residential lots. The other two are open space lots. The property is quite large, 155 acres. Originally approved under the R1 zoning, which was then changed to the RC zoning, and more recently has been changed to the AH8, which is an affordable housing zone, as approved by the court and as part of the settlement agreement with the Fair Share Housing Council. We've kept this approval intact over the years through, I'll just give you some basic dates. Originally approved in 2010. In 2012, there was a substantial amendment
Sorry about that.
That started the vesting period running again. So that amended final was good for 2 years. We got a 2-year extension, which took it to February 6, 2016.
Go through the dates, the extension year.
I have the resolution dates.
That's fine.
So the original approval, final subdivision approval, is from September 20, 2010. And all of this is in my January 8th letter, but here are the dates anyway. The amended final subdivision was February 6, 2012. A 2-year extension was granted January 12, 2015. And that took the approval out to February 6, 2016. On November 7, 2016, a 1-year extension was granted to February 6, 2017. And the most recent extension was granted on April 17, 2017. That was a 3-year extension that protected the property and the approvals through February 6 of this year. And the extension you have in front of you is for an additional extension of 4.5 years. Like, that there are certain facts on this property that are there and they're not going anywhere. For example, the developer, I guess in a fit of hope that the project would go forward, installed all of the site improvements. And so if you go out there, you'll see the roads, there's underground fire tanks for water service. A lot of the utilities are in, and the site is substantially graded for that purpose. The $2.35 million worth of site improvements have been discussed in the past. They're still there. They're still worth that amount. There's a number of outside governmental approvals that have been obtained for that subdivision. And as discussed in my letter, since your last extension, I think you can see, looking at the statistics for both the Clinton Township and Hunterdon County housing markets, that things are a little bit better, but are still not looking good in terms of homes selling for the kind of price range that this project needs to sell for, given the money that's already in the ground in terms of site improvements and the approvals. So I won't go through those specifics, but it's pretty clear that we still have a very weak housing market in Hunterdon County.
And those are all in your letter. They're on page 5. Right?
They're all in my letter. In addition, you have all of the charts that have been attached pulled from the Department of Labor website, which, you know, I can go into those things, but
if anyone has any questions about those things, you could ask. But otherwise, I think everyone takes notice of that.
Mm-hmm. I think if you live here and you see what homes are selling for, it's you didn't need my charts to tell you this. A key change that I mentioned before was, since we were last here, on November 7th, 2018, the township adopted a series of affordable housing ordinances, including the one that rezones this site and places it in the AH8 zone. And that provides for the property to be developed for 400 homes, a total of 400 homes, with a 26% set aside, which equates to 104 low and moderate income units. It's not the only component of the Clinton Township Affordable Housing Plan, but it is a very key one. And I must say we're very pleased. Clinton Township has done everything that it needs to do and it should be doing. It is acting in good faith. It has done that in adopting the ordinance, getting the approval, and everything that needed to be done after that. Our issue is with the outside governmental entities. And this is the reason for the extension. And to just back off of that for a second, the point really is that we are hopeful very hopeful that this project will go forward. Clinton Township wants it to go forward. But we can't, doesn't like you as much as Denise.
Started, yeah. I don't know how long it's off.
Okay. Well, the good news is there actually is no requirement that you record a meeting. The requirement is to record it at a hearing.
Oh.
And the record should reflect that Ms. Butcher is here at 7:15. Let me find my... So just, how come you didn't go for 5 years and pick February 6, 2025? It has something to do with the notice provision?
Can I plead something on that? Well, it has to do with the notice requirements.
Okay.
And, anything you pick involves an awful lot of projection anyway, but it does need to be more than a year or so. We don't really want to come back every
basically
year.
Basically, draw a line somewhere. You've drawn the line. This is a projection, and you don't want to have to come back every year or two for this, right?
And I can pretty much show you how you get to four and a half years. It's probably 4 to 5 years. That's the time frame for the Highlands Village Center and the Water Quality Management Plan approval, assuming those are both approvals. So unless you have any questions for me, that's what we're looking for.
Anybody have any questions for the applicant?
You said you submitted the Highlands thing in August, right? So I guess it would be 5 years from that point, right? You want to peg it to August for some reason, right?
Okay, that's a good idea. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that would make sense, yeah. Too. And it's, just so you know, Mr. Lazarus, it's really the township that has submitted that center petition.
Right.
And it's for all of Annandale plus, right. Since this property is immediately adjacent, it's part of the center.
Does anybody have any?
It's a log extension. Have we done such extensions historically? Basically,
we haven't really done an extension this long. Approvals this long.
Right.
But my advice would be, especially since this is part of the township's affordable housing plan, and again, I represent the planning board, but I'm special affordable housing council to the township. So in my capacity as a special affordable housing council, I can say that the township wants this project to succeed, and I would say that if disaster strikes them, because they've been unbelievably cooperative, and I'm going to say that on the record, this developer, okay, and the attorney have been incredibly cooperative, without using any names, but distinguished from other developers in the township. But this one of all developers has been the most. I would put them on the top of the rating chart. I would think that, not that it's a legal thing, but out of equitable considerations, that if disaster should strike, of all developers, something should be done for this guy.
And that's a positive factor.
Yeah.
In balance, I'm sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I didn't introduce him. This is Robert Cecchio. He's the president of CRC Communities.
That is a positive factor we consider.
Yeah, I would think so. That they have a very cooperative developer that's really helped out with the affordable housing plan.
Yep.
And having sat through negotiations, I concur fully with John.
So, anybody else have any other questions or concerns or considerations they want to raise? No? And I'll note for the record, there's nobody from the public here, so I suppose the next step would be to
make a motion to grant the extension to August 6, 2024.
Yep, August 6, 2024.
Thank you.
Yeah, it actually, the resolution is almost going to be identical, just with the changing of some dates.
Yeah, and the possible criteria amended.
Correct, to bring it up to date.
Right.
So thank you, Mr. Kukanowski, and a second for Mr. Shike. With those two, is there a roll call, please?
Okay, so I'm not going to call Ms. Butcher because she came in halfway through this. So, Glazer.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
Kleinhans.
Yes.
She's taking notes like I am.
She's doing it. That's why I'm going slow, and that's why she's going slow. Kochanowski.
Yes.
Lazarus.
Yes.
Shike.
Yes.
And Semay.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Sorry you got the midget chair there.
What was that?
Sorry you got the midget chair.
As long as I got an approval, I don't care.
Okay, that's good.
We'll remember
thank
that
you.
For next
thank
time.
You.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you.
Business of work session. So now we're up to work session. Oh, no, new business. I'm sorry. Approval of vouchers. Did he set the link to the vouchers out there? I have reviewed them. I'm okay. Anybody have any questions on them?
Yeah,
there's a little. These POs are very confusing still, but that's just a process step. The fundamental vouchers look good, so I'll make a motion to approve the vouchers. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. All in favor? Can we do all in favor, or do we have to vote on this roll call?
Cash. It's money you need. Money.
Yeah, roll call.
Roll call. Glazer.
Do you need me on alternate?
Oh, the Reg, because we have Butcher here. You're right. Butcher. Higgins.
Yes.
Kleinhans.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to go slower for you. Kochanowski.
Yes.
Lazarus.
Yes.
Shike.
Yes.
Semay.
Yes. Thank you. Now we have a work session on the 2020 Master Plan Periodic Examination Report.
Right. Before we do that, I would like to suggest that we have a closed session for me to give you legal advice regarding reexamination reports, since the board hasn't done one for 5 years. There are a bunch of new members that have never done one, and I believe confidentiality is required in order for me to exercise my ethical duties as a lawyer. Therefore, I suggest that someone make a motion, like he says, after I read the following language.
I hate to interrupt, but would it be appropriate to also discuss the teleconvention rule?
Well, I tell you what, I can discuss that on the record.
Oh, fine. Okay.
Thank you very much for reminding me. So the township won its appeal. If you recall, we got a final judgment of compliance and repose by Judge Miller on the affordable housing mm-hmm. plan, and Clinton 94 mm-hmm. filed an appeal. You may recall that the principal, I think, is this guy named Meneskin.
David Meiskin.
Something like that. Meiskin, Meneskin. And so that appeal was filed, and we had oral argument just a couple weeks ago, and the appellate division normally takes about 90 days to decide these things, and within 3 weeks, they had a decision out. And if anyone wants the decision, send me an email, because not that it's, you know, really exciting reading or anything, but there is some interesting stuff that the appellate division.
This was some pretty good. It read well for somebody who's not a lawyer. That was an interesting statement or two in there.
Yeah.
Something about incoherence.
the appellate division had quoted part of what Judge Miller had made findings on the credibility of. What's his name again?
Meiskin.
The intervening
Windsor Homes
developer's principal who testified at the trial. One of the more fun cross-examinations I've had in a long time.
Numerous objections on your part too, right, during that whole process.
No. A lot of good cross-examination questions which he couldn't answer. For those of you who were there, I've been told that it was an entertaining experience.
It was like going back to Saturday Night Live. You know, they had the samurai butcher. John was the samurai attorney.
Yeah. Anyway, the appellate division decision is not that exciting, but especially if you were there, it's just very satisfying.
But they affirmed it pretty resoundingly.
There
was no equivocation.
Yeah. And just so you know, he has 20 days from the issuance of that opinion, if he wants, to seek certification from the New Jersey Supreme Court. You see, when you have a final judgment in the law division, you have everyone has a right to one appeal, automatic right to one appeal with the appellate division. If you're dissatisfied with that, you don't get an automatic appeal to the Supreme Court. You have to petition for the court to grant certification to decide the case. So you have to explain why this issue transcends just the litigants and why it's of statewide importance, or why it's, there's some unbelievable interest of justice at stake or whatever. I don't think that any of those things exist in this case. And unlike an appellate division appeal, which is automatic, so you don't have to sign a certification, the attorney has to sign a certification when you petition to the New Jersey Supreme Court that you have, you know, valid reasons and you're not just doing this because. So it will be interesting to see, but that 20-day period has not run yet. So this is not over yet. Having said that, this is the proposed motion to go into closed session to get legal advice from me on re-examination reports. Whereas NJSA 10:4-12, the Open Public Meetings Act, authorizes this board to, and you don't have to take these notes down because I did it with Denise already, so she has this, to exclude the public from that court. You can just say that they adopted a resolution authorizing a closed session to get legal advice regarding the re-examination report. To the authorization to exclude the public from that portion of the meeting at which this board discusses certain matters. Whereas the board is about to discuss such a matter specifically to obtain legal advice from its attorney regarding re-examination reports where confidentiality is required in order for the attorney to exercise his ethical duties as a lawyer. Whereas this board believes the public should be excluded from that discussion. Now therefore be it resolved by the Clinton Township Planning Board on February 3, 2020 that the board now go into closed session and the public be excluded, and the board believes the discussion conducted in the closed session may not be disclosed to the public because of the attorney-client privileged advice which will be given. Someone want to make that motion?
I'll make a motion to do what he said.
Second. Thank you, Mr. Higgins.
Okay. Butcher.
Yeah.
Glazer. Right, I'm going to hold up. I'm sorry. So I put them in alphabetical order to make it easier for myself. But Higgins.
Yes.
Actually, Ruff is not here. Kleinhans.
Yes.
Kleinhans, you're a yes?
Yes.
Kochanowski.
Yes.
Lazarus.
Yes.
Scheich.
Yes.
And Sumay.
Yes. We're enclosed, so you got everybody.
It was. Yep.
Okay, we're back.
We're back broadcasting.
We are.
Yeah.
Are we back to recording?
We are. So, Tom Behrens is one of the township and board planners. Why don't you run through the draft 2020 periodic reexamination report? And the first thing I'd like to say is, I suggest that this not only be a reexamination report, but also a master plan amendment. So I suggest that both in the title, which I'm going to read in a minute, and also everywhere in the body of the report, that this be called the 2020 Periodic Reexamination Report and Amendment to the Land Use Plan Element of the Master Plan. So why don't you take it away.
Okay, so, well, thank you for having me, first of all. I think both the mayor and Mr. Drill gave a good overview as to why we're doing this. On page 2 of the report, more specifically, there are 5 specific legal requirements that a reexamination report has to cover, and that is basically how the report is organized. The first component has to do with the major problems and objectives related to land development at the time of the last reexamination report. Number 2 is the extent to which such problems and objectives have been addressed. Number 3 is the extent to which there have been significant changes in assumptions, policies, and objectives. Number 4 has to do with specific changes recommended, and number 5 has to do with recommendations pertaining to redevelopment. Then on page 3, as was already mentioned, there's a list of the township's previous planning efforts, which extends all the way back until 1962. As was also mentioned, the last land use plan element was done in 2006, and the last reexamination report was done in 2015. And again, we're doing it 5 years later for the reasons that were discussed, primarily to address some zoning issues and use issues, and also to give an update related to affordable housing in the Highlands and other minor items that are detailed throughout the report.
Hey, Tom, two little typos on this.
Okay.
Latin has infiltrated.
Tell them what page.
Page 3, 2005 and 2015.
Yes.
The mother plan.
Later.
Plan. Yeah.
Another technical term. Okay, thank you. Spell check failed.
It's a word.
It's a lot, yeah. All right, so moving on to section two, but really the first section of the report, which talks about the major problems and objectives and extent to which they have been addressed since the last reexamination report, since 2015. The majority of the goals, objectives, and issues have been maintained, but we have updated them and those issues where necessary. You know, some of the goals have to do with preserving farmland, protecting environmentally sensitive areas, addressing affordable housing, et cetera. And again, I believe it's the township's desire to maintain these goals and objectives at this time.
Order of goals and objectives matter, they're all equal.
I don't think they're prioritized intentionally. So I think they are given some equal weight. In terms of the law, that might be definitely.
Do we need to say that, or do we, or not, or do we need to prioritize? Because
that's a good thought. I mean, we can either not, or we can prioritize.
You're saying sometimes they conflict.
Well, to some degree, or you were saying farmland is first. Is that really true in this day and age? I mean, I'm not saying it's not, but I'm not saying it certainly is. People read it, they say number one, they say, oh, that's important. We could use bullet points and bullet points are neutral.
Right.
Hard to identify the conversation.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So ask, yeah, before you do ask.
Okay.
So does what's the board? What's the best way?
Do you want bullet points?
I'd rather not try to rank them because that's just going to be a harder discussion. I try to make it more, this is my view, less looking like a rank. So either bullet points or say in no particular order, in a parenthesis up there.
I like using numbers just so it's easier to say for reference, but if you don't want them ranked, then you say.
Just say in no order of preference or something.
Right. I think they're broad goals and sometimes they conflict a little too.
Including the following in parentheses in no particular order.
And then, this is picky. Number four, does the graph really work?
Address demands. I think demands and needs, probably.
What was it, while maintained or to maintain?
I think you said
number five.
Maintaining.
You said four, but you meant five. You meant five. Address demands and needs?
While maintaining.
Yeah, continued growth in traffic at major highway corridors and locals
while maintaining.
Maintaining.
While maintaining. I thought you meant five. Look at five.
ING.
Yeah.
But.
So if there are any other titles that are cut.
Address demands for and needs. Address demands and needs for community facilities, right? You're knocking out the word on?
Correct.
The fire?
Correct. Yes. Okay. But points well taken, and we will amend that section accordingly. Then we go to the more substantive issues. The one, I don't know if we discussed this rezoning change, but there is a map of it later in the report. Up on Route 31, there is... Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Tom's got to go through everything in this report now. Like, he can't assume that the board knows anything about anything in the report. Even though I emailed it out to everybody, you guys have not had, in my opinion, a sufficient period of time. Unless you guys, 8 o'clock, I'd really like him to go through this tip to toe so you know what's in it.
Right. Well, we can do that. Isn't there a picture on page 25?
Page 25. Yes.
Right. Look at. I think that really brings it.
That's the parcel in question, and it looks like this one stands out. And for a number of reasons it was carved out for a specific reason, and now the request by the owner, and I think the township is okay with it, more than okay with it.
Just so you understand, though, to do this, we need a footnote, mm-hmm. because we need to get, I believe we need to get court approval.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, we tried once.
But look what it says. The amended court ruling stipulated the township could seek relief to allow rezoning if they failed to complete a development application within a reasonable amount of time. So they didn't complete the rezoning. So you're going to make this part of the recommendation, but before an ordinance is adopted, we have to get approval by the court. If we don't...
It could be considered... Right.
Yeah, it could be considered violating the court order.
Right.
Oh, to make the zoning. Got it. Yeah.
Okay.
Is that Hoxtown?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is he...
He's retired.
But he's not been called back.
Correct.
So it should be a... Right. It's just... You're right. That's
procedural... Right. Component to it, so...
Correct. We can have the recommendation in here, but...
The new owners are environmentalists.
The ordinance should not be adopted prior to getting court relief from that consent order.
Our state again is rural...
Rural conservation. Right?
I'll give you the full story, which I can do on the record.
Right, because
I'm not stating anything. Mm-hmm. There was a lawsuit filed by three property owners shortly after the 2006 rezoning. And of the three lots, we won on two of the lots that the RC zoning was correct. On the third lot, we won that the RC zoning was otherwise correct. However, there was this 1999 consent order.
So we really didn't know about it, if I remember.
Right. So we tried to apply for relief once they objected on that basis, and Judge Buxbaum, who was then sitting in Hunterdon County, said, now I'm not going to do it right now. They need a reasonable amount of time to submit a complete development application for it. Well, that was... Right. I think a reasonable amount of time has passed. Okay, so I don't think this is any real heavy lift to get the court order, but I would not want to have this problem again of doing the rezoning without getting the court order, especially since, I mean, a lot of us are well aware.
And at that moment in time, there was somebody poking around a little bit. It was a landscaping outfit, and it sounded like maybe somebody was going to come out with
approval prior to the
hearing.
But now, essentially, we're completing that zone.
Yes.
And it's also in the Highlands Preservation Area, if I remember correctly.
So who will eventually... So what's the process here, John? The master plan is amended, or the amended adopted is amended. Then the planning board gives you instructions to get
it? No, the township attorney.
All right.
Yeah, you don't need me for that. There's one other thing that's bothering me about this. When you look at the map, right... What's the zoning of those three lots to the west? I believe those are the lots owned by the Hanuszewskis.
Hanuszewskis and the Irvins, the neighbors from Harlan County, Kentucky.
Yeah. Where is Eagle Lane on your...
See, I believe, I could be wrong about this, but I thought
I think it's on that low, I think it's the lower... Indent.
The lower
white
line?
Yeah.
John, can you correct me if I'm wrong? I thought that one of the reasons this is going to be easy, I thought that younger Hanuszewski
bought that the old Mad Lot and wants it rezoned. They're both.
Right. So it's not only that, it's not like, oh, we're going to have a big heavy lift getting the judge to do it, but the property owner actually supports rezoning it to what this is proposing right now, also.
So accommodate a single-family home because they cannot do it with an OB1.
That's right. So this is actually going to be not only not a heavy lift; it should be a light lift.
Right.
Because
there's nobody.
Correct.
It's supporting the fact.
Right.
All right. So moving down the list, the township has addressed the issue of building height or height of building rather, to where the ordinance was amended to change the definition from the midpoint of the roof to be measured to the highest point of the roof. That was done in 2016. There are a number of other ordinance issues which have not yet been addressed pertaining to sexually oriented businesses, unclear definitions.
Not fat food.
I did pick up
what
on
is that too.
Noise control.
We actually had a case in front of council 10 days ago with the chicken lady.
Is that related to sexual abuses, or is that
noise control?
I was still lingering back on them.
That's for food related.
Well, correct. And we don't have any objective standards for decibel levels or anything else. And we had recognized that the council some time ago that we should work on it. So we
had chicken battles back in the day.
Are they pets or are they?
That was Harmon Voss.
Right.
He just swore they were pets and then he ate them.
Yeah.
And he said that was okay.
Yeah. We're going on about the rooster and Kirk Peterson, our assemblyman, sitting back where he left halfway through, and he said, "Guys, turn around and look at your town seal."
Well,
and
we also would call it preserving farmland.
Where are we? Moving on to page six, number six. Wellhead protection has been addressed generally by achieving conformance with the Highlands Regional Master Plan. Irrigation as an issue, again, no longer relevant as an issue, as again, pertaining to conformance with the Highlands RMP, as it's called. Conservation easements have not yet been addressed. And recreation and historic preservation standards have yet to be implemented by the township. Some other planning issues noted, again, this is from the 2015 reexamination report. At the time, there was a recommendation to extend Molasses Hill Road to the west across Route 31 into Bunk Park. I believe that recommendation is no longer valid given the feasibility of making such a connection, is my understanding.
Correct. So there's two office parcels included on the far side there, so we don't exactly have a traffic issue. It's signalized, and you can make a left followed by a right to get to one park. So I'm not sure where this came from.
I'm not sure where that ever came from. That's
a crazy way to spend money, don't you think?
Right.
Therefore, I thought when they penalized the highway roof on the way.
So we should have killed it the last time we did.
It said it in 2015 report. We're now retracting it. It says it's been evaluated and determined to be impractical. So that should address that.
Okay.
Related to the RLM 1 zone.
Thank you.
At Route 31 and Route 22, there was a recommendation that the township really look at the Exxon property for future planning and zoning implications. But I think it's well understood that Exxon is sort of there to stay, and that the area around it is generally being preserved.
I think there should be a recognition in here that, in fact, the Exxon expanded. And that application was in front of this board.
Well, Tom and I talked about it a little bit. The fact that they have reasonable amounts of flammable and combustible products on site now argues very strongly for the use of the surrounding property as a greensward. Any chemical plant I've been associated with, that's an average size holding for a plant with large amounts of solvents.
Yes. Yeah, that is the reason.
We're at the corner, where we're sitting is at the south of the corner.
Because they've never guaranteed that in the planning approvals, but de facto they do by virtue.
See, years ago, Mobil had a real estate development function by the name of Friendswood. And I remember reading well before I was on the planning board this big spread about Friendswood development, was thinking about a town center, because for more than a few points in time, that property was on the market. I went to Houston one time to meet with their real estate people on behalf of Murray.
Mm-hmm.
So the highest and best that they had to capture any money was to make it into a town center.
Right.
Now they're really anchored here after that expansion.
Can you read the policy statement? Do you think that would bother Exxon at all, that policy statement?
No. I mean, they invested tens of millions of dollars in this project. They're not going anywhere.
No, I understand, but it says the undeveloped. Tom's going to add why. Can you read the language you're going to add in there?
To the reason's going to be because of the site now storing flammable combustible materials.
Because of that, the undeveloped land surrounding the research facility will be maintained as green buffer open space. Do you think that's an okay statement?
You could also provide some, it would be retained for perhaps future expansion and buffer space. You don't want to appear to foreclose any expansion alternative, for sure.
Right.
Well, our policy statement doesn't foreclose it per se.
No, I'm reading that last sentence from there.
Because it says will rather than should.
It handcuffs us. The solvent thing handcuffs us.
Yeah, read that last sentence. How is it written right now?
Will be maintained.
Yeah, as green buffer open space. That sure seems to me to be limiting. If you don't want to do that, then...
Well, I think there's some language where, for further expansions and...
For further expansion and... green buffer open space.
Yeah. Because I don't mention the solvent tankage and all that. Yeah. I agree with Tom.
But I have to take out the solvent.
We're looking at the tax map.
Take out the...
Parks and Rome, different parts of Exxon. I think that's a long legacy. Like, when they were trying to sell it, wasn't part of the foundation.
No, with the corporate holdings.
It's, okay.
Who knows? I mean, play things with taxes and appreciation.
Right, because I'm just worried that would rear something head against something. Some bright light in Houston says, "Oh, let's sell the southern part of that parcel." And then,
I don't think that expansion foreclosed any particular idea they had. And it's a sizable stake in the future.
Mm-hmm. Tom, can you read the revised policy statement now? After, does anyone have anything else they want to say on this? Why don't you read it first, and see if anyone else has anything to say about it.
This recommendation is no longer valid as the ExxonMobil facility has since received planning board approvals for expansion. The undeveloped land on the property surrounding the research facility will likely be maintained for future expansion and for as a buffer and open space.
All right. With everybody?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Something to that effect.
Right.
All right, so moving on now to page 7, water and sanitary sewer utility plan. The recommendation in 2015 was really to update, what the township's capacity is or was related to water and sewer. And as is described in the policy statement, there really is a lack of both at the moment based on both of the utilities and connections throughout the township and that the water and sewer generally being prioritized for affordable housing. The township did endorse its 2019 wastewater management plan on December of 2019. It's being submitted to Hunterdon County for endorsement and ultimately NJDEP. The Highlands master plan will also factor this in terms of the conformance process. Now, was it endorsed or adopted by the township?
Adopted,
I thought.
We're in the process of adopting. But we,
okay.
Yeah. Just as an aside, Andrew Holt is the chair of the Environmental Committee and the water sewer engineer for Clinton, among other towns, suggested that we gussy this up a little bit.
So would this be to his satisfaction? I think we added the language because of that comment. Yeah. Is this enough to address? But to go further than we had it.
Yeah.
And explain that there really is a lack at the moment. The issue of affordable housing, which is discussed in greater detail, the township has received its judgment of compliance and repose for its affordable housing plan, has implemented its various affordable housing ordinances, and we'll get into the various sites later in the report. I think there's still 40 towns or so 30 or 40 towns that are still haven't reached an agreement with Fair Share Housing Center out of the 200.
There were 40 about 3 weeks ago. They're now down to 30 as of my conversation with Adam today.
Okay.
Wow.
Hey, that.
Yeah, we're up to potentially 29 next week if my last case sets.
Third line up from the bottom, it's Fair Share, not Far Share.
Far Share.
Today I'm far.
All right, good catch, thank you. Moving on to page 8. Again, there's a whole, this talks about Highlands plan conformance, and again, really just itemizes all the tasks and extent to which the township has addressed these. I don't know how much you want to get into these, but there still are a few that remain. including the housing element, fair share plan, which this has really been done already. They're aware of the township's efforts of the various sites and have really, I guess, been a guiding force in getting us to, you know, implement and facilitate these various plans and sites. There's the Highlands Environmental Resource Inventory, the master plan element, not major plan element, but master plan, spelled it right there. The Highlands Land Use Ordinance, which is something the township will have to do in the future in order to accommodate at least the development of the Marukian site, which is a 100% affordable development. So that's something I think possibly within this year that we need to get to. The zoning map should be amended to reflect the Highland zones, and obviously will need to be amended to reflect whatever zoning changes happen as a result of this.
Kathy, I don't know if she wants to talk about something like this or not.
There's the sustainable economic plan element, which is something that has not been prepared yet. But
that's part of the Highlands.
So. That's part of the Highlands, yeah. There's the agricultural retention farmland preservation plan element, again, another component of the it's part of the Highlands and is an optional master plan element as permitted by the MLUO. And there are a number of affordable housing site map adjustments that are required in order to accommodate at least the Wacomp site development, possibly a heavy development that was here, and possibly the Marukian site, but definitely Wacomp, you know, that much.
We don't have the agricultural farmland one now, right?
Not that I'm aware of. I haven't seen it, and I haven't seen it on the list. Exactly.
I was a little slow on the draw on this. If we go back to that sustainable economic plan, we don't need to revise it, but Highlands has put out a substantial RFP. I'm not sure if you're aware of that, to develop their plan for that.
Okay.
That's just recently, and the other news there is Hunter County is on the verge of joining the Highlands after being standoffish for quite a long time. And that's happening to some degree because the RFP is out, and Mark Salick has invited them down to our meetings to help everybody along Route 28 and 78. So there's a Highlands much better relationship on
or working on implementing.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you for that, Mayor. So again, we just left off on the affordable housing site map adjustments. A newer item, and
when you get down to this item,
stop there. You have something. Okay. So there is now a Highland Center being proposed around the Annandale Village area, which would encompass generally the area south of the train station, the historic village, the Headley site, and really what it does is allow the township to create its own development standards that are more flexible than the Highlands would otherwise allow for in terms of density, impervious coverage, and other bulk factors. So it helps the township be able to maintain its developed character and also allow for the development of affordable housing and some other infill development within that center that is, you know, at a regional crossroads that really at the intersection of Route 31, 22, and 78, and again has the train station there. So we prepared, a petition to the Highlands Council to consider it. They've determined that it's incomplete, pending
and this is the one that further information. Julie Hirsch was discussing earlier, correct?
Correct.
So is this represented on page 31?
There is a map of this later in the report.
So folks will look at it. This is that Highland Center, right, which captures that land that they just talked about, which is the AHA up at about 1 o'clock.
Do you have a reference? I know that back here it says map for Highland Center. Do you have a reference?
It's discussed later on, but I can
throw a reference in there. And the other one that these guys asked about earlier,
the zone change.
That zone change thing in on page 5.
Yep.
Item 2.21. Yep. Throw a reference in there too.
I guess I did have a little reaction to this. We're talking a little bit more than what people have spoken about these are Annandale. Right?
That's why it's worth looking at here to make sure we kind of.
I guess I didn't realize the size of the size of that zone. Just to see if you had the real one.
Well, yeah, and then we're reaching down to.
Is that Exxon coming down?
31. Yeah. That includes like the old bowling alley site and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, and a car dealership.
Yeah.
I mean, there is infrastructure down there, and that's one of the logical reasons for it.
There are some homes along there, too, so what does it do to them?
It just...
Because they're already in the OB1 zone, and
it relaxes. For instance, if you want to build a home on a vacant lot, you revert to normal septic system rules.
Right.
You're not subject to the 3%.
But they can go to the planning board for variance, use variance, or the board adjust for the use variance? Or
no, they don't need use variance.
The underlying zone doesn't change.
Isn't it OB1?
Yeah. If it was in the OB1.
If it's in the OB1, yeah. It depends what zone it's in.
It's off the mesh, which is back to residential.
That's
never changed.
But this doesn't change any underlying zoning. It just gives relief from the
Highlands regulation.
So it goes back to regular township regulation.
Correct.
Yes.
Right. It kind of removes the Highlands from
it. Got it. Okay. Right.
I think the stream setbacks stay the same, but density and impervious.
Other factors, yeah, are relaxed pretty significantly. Basically, the township can write its own standards for these areas.
Right.
And to be honest, we were back and forth. Tom has a better memory than I do. We were back and forth on Route 31. I think we will be back at some future date to include in another center the stretch of Route 31 north of the highway. Up to a few lots past Marianne's Corner.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
Apparently, Highlands felt it would be a slog to do them both.
Yeah.
Well, the thought we had included it in this one single center, even though they're not geographically connected. They're within the same vicinity, and the thought was that because I guess the perception is they're so far removed from getting water and sewer at the moment that it would delay this center and the need to develop affordable housing that we couldn't afford that delay. And so, you know, when and if we can address that other portion of the township, we'll do that, make that change at that time. I mean, it may be something we can do now and explore further, but I think that was the general consensus from the Highland staff to hold off at the moment.
So, if someone wants to build a house, or I'll have them maybe 10 or 12 acres to build a house, what would the township requirement be?
Depends on the zone. There's 4 acre zoning. It's RC, it's 90 development.
So, it's still fairly substantial. It's not, we're not like picking up a close to Palace here or something.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have 1 acre.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. Yeah, like the old days. Where
4 and 9.
Okay.
So there's the proposed center, there's a stream corridor protection restoration plan, and now a topic John would like to discuss, the wastewater management plan.
Do we know, read what you have there, then let's ask if anyone knows about the status of that wastewater management plan being submitted to Huntington County for endorsement.
Read the section?
Yeah.
The water quality management planning rules adopted by the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection requires that all areas of New Jersey are addressed by wastewater management plans. The Highlands Council staff is in the process of finalizing a WMP in collaboration with the township. The Clinton Township Council endorsed, which really should say adopted, its 2019 wastewater management plan on December 11th, 2019. The WMP is being submitted.
Okay, so who is submitted? Has the township submitted it to Huntington County, or who was supposed to submit it to Huntington County, or did we submit it to the Highlands to submit to Huntington County?
I thought Highlands was supposed to submit it to the county. County is the agency. Highlands has a special relationship with DEP and all
so
that.
So can we find out?
We need to confirm.
We need to confirm, and if the Highlands submitted it, then write the Highlands Council has submitted it. If the Highlands Council is supposed to submit it, then write the Highlands Council will be submitting. But the way it reads here, I thought that we had some obligation to do it. That's one of the things that here. This is
the answer for Kathy.
We completed ours. Kathy's completed her review and was fine with it and notified the Highlands. So it's in their
submitted.
I can give you the date that the township engineer completed her assignment.
She's answering me right now.
All right. I'm going to look up just in case.
But who from us, meaning who from the township, took that wastewater management plan and sent it somewhere? And where did they send it? And who knows that information?
Kathy would be the expert on where we are.
She's going to follow up tomorrow morning, she said.
Let's see.
She believes it was sent to the Highlands and not the county. I'll follow up tomorrow morning.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Highlands is the conduit.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask her to send an email to you, me, and the mayor. Please send an email when you find out to Tom Behrens, comma, John Higgins, comma, and me, period. Thanks.
Did Kathy completed her review on July 15th?
Yeah, I just want Tom to know who did we send it to. I believe it, again, I believe it was the Highlands, and whether they've done anything with it. So you're going to have to call the Highlands to see if they've done anything with it, but wait till you get the email from Kathy.
Tom, the guy who was carrying the ball up there was Casey, whose last name I can't pronounce.
I remember that guy.
Yeah, I've seen the correspondence. I thought they gave their final blessing, but I may be wrong.
No, I understand.
I get it. We'll check the status and make sure.
This is a very important one.
Oh, I understand. Completely.
The final component would be the Municipal Stormwater Master Plan. And this is a recommendation that has yet to be addressed. The next item has to do with parks and open space. The 2015 report acknowledged that township has considerable parkland and open space. Since then, the township has acquired additional parcels, including the Cowfelt property, I believe it is, along Route 31. Have there been any other substantial parks?
No.
That was the major one.
Yeah.
Okay. And this acquisition, as well as the township's remaining open space properties, have been reflected in a revised recreation and open space inventory that was adopted by the township on December 17th, 2018. And the township, while has spent, I think, most of its funds for open space, still has an eye out for strategic parcels and grants and so forth.
We probably have an acquisition coming up to support the LeCompte Park.
The LeCompte Park.
That's probably the next one.
Okay. Is that something that should be acknowledged specifically?
I would imagine.
Yeah, it's preliminary, too preliminary. Yeah. Premature, I guess. Yeah. The next item would be site plan review exemptions. The township did amend its ordinance to address this. I think there's been some discussions in terms of economic development, in terms of, I guess, softening certain parameters even further to make things a little more streamlined.
We'll be honest, John Davis, at the model ordinance from the borough of Bridgewood, where the technical review committee could avoid appearances by applicants for certain things in front of the planning board. We just haven't gotten to it. And to be honest, the county would certainly like us to get to it, since they would pay some money to
recommend
another plan or similar thinking.
So that is in the works, again, to take a look at this and expand that further. The references to the former R1 and R2 zones have been removed from the ordinance, so that's a change that has occurred since 2015. The checklist requirements remains an item to be addressed.
This is a pet peeve of Denise's, by the way. This should really...
She updated the checklist, didn't she?
They updated another checklist. Was that it? When Becky threw the tooth out there in Colorado, we did just after that, because Becky was honest for a long time. We did amend a checklist, but these are...
For amended site plan and amended subdivision, we use a checklist for subdivision and site plan. And it's, then you always get a raft of requests for waivers. So, I mean, this has not yet been addressed and remains a valid recommendation.
Correct.
Okay. But there's a bunch of things that say, it hasn't been done yet. I'm just saying that this one, you should really do this one sooner than later. All right.
Buffer requirements are another issue that hasn't been addressed. If you review the development ordinances, the land use regulations, there are quite a few holes in terms of how buffers are required, where they're required, and how they're defined, the dimensions, and so forth. And because of the importance of buffers separating residential and non-residential uses, this is something the township should consider taking a look at some point in the future. conforming with the Highlands Regional Master Plan, there are some regulations, buffer regulations related to environmentally sensitive resources, but not necessarily separating uses. So again, that's something that...
Like the neighbors and stuff like that, or those kind of buffers?
There are different types of buffers. Some might be between a use and a roadway. Some might be separating non-residential and residential land uses, either as a, 20 feet or as a percentage, defining what a buffer is.
If you read our buffer ordinance, for instance, housing development one, you should be buffered from housing development two.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense when the homes within each housing development are not buffered from each other.
Interesting.
So that was one of the things that gave rise way back to concern on this. But I'm sure there's more.
I don't know the Board of Adjustments was talking about.
No, the Board of Adjustments didn't. This is a planning board.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
This is not a Board of Adjustments recommendation. This is a planning board recommendation. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Occasionally, they have to sometimes.
And finally, we have the ROC district.
Yeah, does this one have a map? I couldn't find a map for this one.
It's part of the, I believe, Route 22.
Yeah.
Route 22. Reference.
Yeah. So it's part of map 2, or it's map 1 and map 2.
Yeah.
Just map 1.
Map 1,
I think.
On page 20.
Yeah.
And it's that easterly parcel. And again, I think it's the township's intent to include this as part of that sort of rom-com zone. Again, to have a more comprehensive zoning designation that covers the 22 corridor in light of certain developments since the last reexamination report, like the removal of the treatment facility that was intended to be there.
And you can actually see the set aside for that up on the ROC zone, which is kind of what we're talking about.
What's the page you're at, 10?
12.
Is it 20?
It's right here.
Oh, I see. That little like thing looks like a diamond?
Yeah, it's 5 acres for the East Clinton treatment plant. When Harold bought the property, that was extinguished.
Huh. Interesting.
Okay. Moving on then to page 13, changes in assumptions, policies, and objectives. There's a very brief overview about local conditions. Not much have changed since 2015. There is a pretty comprehensive overview of demographics and economic data in the 2018 Housing Element and Fair Share Plan. Generally, it seems that the themes in the 2015 reexamination report are still relevant in terms of really, a stabilized population and household growth.
The first bullet is, I would say, declining population and not flat. But the chart, there is 2018 ACS data that has our population 12,957. If you go with decennial census, we've been growing every one since 1930. And we eventually get our 2020 number, a year or two, whatever. That'll be the first one in almost a century that we're declining.
Just in 2017.
I don't know if you ever read the metric.
There is a 2018 number.
The same as the current.
No.
Okay, gotcha. I think the last time I looked, it wasn't available.
I read it on NJ.com last week.
Okay. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Honestly, 100 in, of all the towns over 5,000, population 100, there's only 6 or 7. We were all declining, except Raritan Township, which grew a little bit.
It's just the, I don't know if you read the way the surveys are done by the underlying data with the American Community Survey.
That's a sample.
Tiny sample.
Well, I know, but they do an actual count every 10 years, but then the ACS is just sampling to get you some numbers in between.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. So it's the big one is going to be...
I still think we get our 2020 number is going to show decline. And that's with, yeah, that includes 1,000 prisoners in the jail, in the reform court. Because they're included in the... They're included in the census.
Didn't they pass a bill changing that?
They changed the way they're counted for political purposes, things like that, but not...
Not population.
I still... They're institutionalized populations are still in the...
In the local.
Right. As far as I know.
Thank you for that. But yeah, the ACS data is generally not as reliable as it, but it's the best we have.
No, I agree.
Just
looking at it, it was wacky, so I ended up, you know, going deeper into it. It's like, it's a left finger in the wind.
It's exactly, it is what it is.
But despite our flat declining population, it's safe to say that some of our major corridors, like 78, 31, 22, there is heightened traffic and congestion.
Yeah.
So is it fair to say that? Because it's true?
I think that's attributable to the truck traffic on 78.
It's attributable to development west of us.
It's passed through.
And look at Route 31 north. It's development north of us as well, up in Warren County, with the taxes and housing prices.
That's why I want to say, this is a driver of some of the decisions that we're making. Because you're saying infrastructure is where it's at. Unless we're going to increase infrastructure, our zoning can't support unbridled development at this point.
True. Yeah.
But I'm just encouraging it at the moment.
We're in the conditions,
we've got 10 items.
You're saying add one?
I would add one. Yeah. I want something
increase traffic and congestion along Route 31.
Yeah, the little major part. Route 31, 17, 22, all through 22, need a little bit. That, except it gets all backed up going on 78. So it is
now, the way to determine, if you go to the NJDOT website, mm-hmm. and take a look, they have years, and then you, because you want this to be factually correct.
Yeah.
So let's check it. Right. If it's factually correct, put it in.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense, of course. Right.
Mm-hmm. So again, locally, mm-hmm. other than that comment, which I appreciate, it doesn't seem like a whole lot has changed since 2015. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to be too general about it, but
no.
There have been some other changes in the state realm. On page 14, again, going back to affordable housing, the township has settled. There are 30 or so towns that have not settled. This gives a little bit of a history about the current process, which really began in March 2015, where the courts took the jurisdiction away from COA. And again, the township has achieved compliance for the third round.
And you can add on the bottom, the end of the paragraph on page 14, the appellate division affirmed the judgment of compliance and repose on January, it was last week, right? It was last week.
You know when it was?
It was last Thursday, because it was the opening of my trial up in
27.
Yeah, on January 27, 2020.
Just a numerical question, real fast. 20 or 30 towns have been settled, 200 have. How about the rest of the 565?
Oh, they never filed.
They
never filed declaratory judgment action. There's a bunch of municipalities that are exposed to Mount Laurel 2 builders remedies.
200 or so.
Yeah. There were a couple, for example, in Hunterdon County, Califon filed one and then withdrew it because they couldn't reach an agreeable settlement, so they decided they'll roll the dice, and if someone sues them, then they'll deal with it.
Yeah, I guess if I were in Salem County, Burlington County, places like
Mendham,
that.
I think, doesn't have one.
Yeah. The Califon and Hunterdon County. Yeah.
Who wants
to know? Yeah. So again, that's just an overview of the current process.
The desirable municipalities don't have the option of not doing that.
Or Alpine.
On page 15,
they haven't settled.
Yeah, we're involved there.
I know.
Things are heating up. Yes.
He's getting the Zetterowski.
That'll be the next one.
He would have given it to me, but it looks like I'm good now.
Better off,
yeah.
Moving on to page 15, we have the local redevelopment housing law, LRHL, which governs redevelopment in the state. There was a new criterion B amended as follows. Basically, it was amended to address the discontinuance of the use of a building or buildings used as malls or plazas that they would constitute a site or an area in need of redevelopment, which wasn't previously the case. And also new criterion I talks about areas with buildings used or previously used as a shopping mall, more or less reiterating the same thing due to a lack of occupancy for at least 2 years would also be considered an area in need of redevelopment for that reason alone. Additional policy changes at the state level.
Oh, I'm sorry, is there any areas truly applicable in Clinton Township that were shopping malls or...
I think it's more of an FYI.
We had
manufacturing. Maybe like strip mall would be included.
Yeah.
A shopping plaza.
A shopping plaza.
So, for example, the one that now has the...
Like Big Rock, the malls.
That outfit from Rhode Island.
Yeah, the odd lots.
That one could have qualified for this, but they basically did their own redevelopment.
Right. Okay.
And what about the ShopRite?
That was the ShopRite.